presenting is the Chilcat Library. Now, if you've ever used Google to tickle something or other, you've probably encountered it among the top results. In my case, I type tickle OAuth 2, and you can see the AI says, hey, how about the Chilcat tickle extension? And okay, well, how about some sample code? Sure, I want some sample code. Well, it turns out the guy who did Chilcat has the domain examplecode.com. So, all right, so that's not it there, but if you want industrial strength, there it is, Chilcat there, and then more Chilcat, Chilcat examples. The guy's been around 25 years, and we've never talked about it here. And I've used it for quite a long time, very successfully, and I thought we should give the guy some love and explain what it does and what the use case is for it. So what it is a crazy large library written in C++ of pretty much all the difficult stuff. Now, some of the stuff is in TickleLib, but other things like OAuth 2 wasn't, and a lot of other stuff isn't as well. So sometimes you need all these crazy things and you don't want to have to implement them. And maybe Gustav hasn't implemented it yet. And he's written it in C++ and then used Swig, which I'll explain in a bit, to make it available to Tickle. Now, because it is C++ based and uses Swig, it is a little bit funny to use, right? It's very much like typing, like using library in C. So you have to allocate the memory and then delete the memory after you're done. He's got get and put methods on it. But in the end, this is what the sort of thing looks like. You create a new object, you do some stuff with it. Is there an error? You clean it up. And it works. So you allocate, you're free. You have to remember to do that. And here's the crazy surface of this library. And it's rather large. It's also, it's one guy who's a very good programmer who replies in about 10 minutes if you find any issues you need it expanded. In my case, I used OAuth for OAuth 2 to get into QuickBooks initially, and it turned out that was one of his source code examples. He tested against QuickBooks, he had sample code for QuickBooks, so that just worked. When I did it against Basecamp, it didn't work. I emailed him and he said, oh, it's because they've implemented OAuth 2 incorrectly. Let me get you a new library. Within a week, I had a new library that worked around the problem. That's pretty amazing, right? To have a senior programmer who will work essentially for free. You've paid your license already. And so here's how there's a lot of JSON stuff, obviously, on the internet, and all his examples use his JSON library. So get it off the URL, fetch it, and here's encrypting something with RSA. So similar kind of things. Downloading over SFTP, I'm giving you a bunch of examples. Now, I'll also mention that if you use an AI, the AI loves the Chilcat library because he has so heavily documented his code and he uses a code generator so that an example he writes once is then generated to PHP, Python, Tickle, etc. And so the AI, if it's reading, for example, a Python example code, when it implements it in Tickle, it's completely right because it's the same flow every single time. So that's been quite nice to just throw stuff together. So here's sending an email over SMTP, digitally signing a PDF, creating a zip, okay, uploading to S3. You get an idea of just how much stuff there is in here. So the way it works is you pay and you get a key and you unlock it. And once it's unlocked for the session. These are the prices. So I've been on this for a long time. I recently got a second programmer, an assistant, so we bumped up to this. And you can use it as long as you want. If you want maintenance, you do have to pay. Okay. Perpetual license. So I find these terms to be pretty generous. The story, sent him some questions, did an email interview. The story is that he sold his company and he got stock, and then the stock crashed to zero and he got nothing for his company. So in order to survive, he decided to write a big C++ library. And it is in C++. So SWG is the software wrapper interface generator. And what it does is it takes header files and then writes code that will make that program written in C or C++ available in other scripting languages. And SWG works on lots of OSs. As it happens, I did the Windows port of SWG about 20 years ago. So I wasn't that surprised to see it. But it does make a wrapper that can crash really easily because there's absolutely no input parameter checking. So you pass it bad stuff, it goes splat. And that's a big deal, and I was really happy to see him retiring SWG and making a more native API. Hopefully that does memory handling and exception handling, because I think that's what's screwing things up. At the end of the talk, I'll show you some code and my approach to using this in production. So this is how he builds everything. So I asked him about his own tools, because it is, when you go to examplecode.com or net, it's just massive. It's crazy. And you look at something like OAuth2, and then he'll have a dozen companies that he is authenticated against and code you can just use. So what you thought was going to be a hard problem, you're $300 poorer, but now the problem's gone, you can go back to your job. And I found that to be really worthwhile. Vendor is kind of a wrong way to put it. He's not a vendor. It's you've got a senior programmer out there who's written good code. You find any problem, he answers it. Even when there are things that I couldn't make work, he just wrote me the code and sent it back. And that has nothing to do with this. That's just how he supports the programmers. And it's interesting because, like, when I use AI, it actually tends to want to use this instead of the open source stuff. And I think it's just because of the example code, or it might be just because it's so well documented. But I thought that was interesting. So that's the presentation, but I want to show you a couple of things. So one I wanted to show you is, that works. Oh, I have to kill PowerPoint. Just kill it. Does the screen come back? It's going to take me a second to let the screen come back. All right. Displays. Yeah. So PowerPoint undoes the mirroring. That's a nice discovery. All right, so what I wanted to show you is not that, but this. So because it's done with SWG and it's kind of easy to crash because it's a C++ library, I didn't want it inside Navi Server because that's my main website. If anything goes wrong, splat. So what I did is I made everything just a command line Tickle script that I shell to. And what I do is I pass parameters to it, and then it returns me JSON. And that's been a very stable way to go. Obviously, not super performant, but for my use case, that's just fine. And here's real source code. So this gives you an idea of what it takes to actually do something real. So at the very top, I've got load the library, get the access token, which is to say, how do I actually access QuickBooks? Okay, make the rest endpoint is some other library. Then on the command line, I'm asking for the date and some other parameters. Here's the URL defined by the QuickBooks API. Okay, create a JSON object, call it, make a JSON object, emit a compact version, which is say, give me the text version, and then I just put it on the screen, clean everything up. That has the great advantage of being fully encapsulated and understandable. And that's worked well for me. That's why you saw I had so many Tickle scripts that do reasonable things. But it also meant that I have these, it's very Unix-y. I have a command line program that does one thing, does it well, takes command line parameters, outputs a single thing. that's my entire presentation on this. I hope you'll give it a try. There's a 30-day eval for free. And while it's fun to tinker with Tickle, it's also fun to get work done. And you can help me do that. Thanks.
So that was all for this time? Yeah! Magic John, please.
Two short questions. I think also one advantage of this going this way of having this extra script is you're passing by concurrency problems. Mm. Because you're calling the script and this is more or less a new process instance, and whenever you get back there, then it doesn't matter whether you have concurrency issues or 10 people doing it, you simply have more resources using it, but it's not, you're not in the same danger of requiring that everything there must be thread safe. Mm-hmm. This is normally a classical problem.
The only thing I do a semaphore on is the OAuth process. So the only thing I'm not showing here is there's a lot of rate limiting on these processes. So before I call this in Navi server, I call a semaphore and I make everyone else wait before they do QuickBooks work. Because if you do too many QuickBooks API calls, more than one a second, then they will lock you out for several hours.
I see.
So that's a concurrency issue I have to deal with.
Wait limit.
Yeah.
I mean, also this OAuth stuff is also there in Navi server, and OpenSS uses this since several years. It's also fully scripted. I mean, Tulikan is a great library, but just for using OAuth, we have also very stable implementation.
But you make a good point, though, which is I've thought about taking it off the command line and putting it into, I forget what it's called, but Navi server is an approach to have a pool of processes, and you can send things to it and back. And
NS proxy?
With NS proxy. And then that would allow me to essentially have one of these and not have the semaphore anymore. I would just queue up jobs and they would come back order.
But before this OAuth to log in to whatever using Azure accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, there are a lot of small differences if you log in whatever to Google or otherwise. There are small things on top of OAuth, how they interpret. Then you get back that you have afterwards these claims, mm-hmm. and these claims tend to differ, and the way how you time out afterwards or you log out is also slightly different. And we have the REST library in OpenSS, and it has several subclasses, and including the stuff for Microsoft. And it's the thing which is a daily business of everybody logging in into the system using it. Therefore, it's very stable. It was not written by me. Mm-hmm. But it's still in OpenSS.
Okay. I saw someone else had their hand up or not. No. Okay. Thanks very much.
Thanks, John.